Morning, in the name of Jesus, thankful that we serve a Savior that is alive today. I'd like to share some thoughts with you out of John chapter 11. I want to turn there. We're going to read most of this chapter, a story from the Bible. You know, about a week ago, I think I found out Joe had asked if I would preach here this morning. And I don't know how many of you have ever experienced that, being asked to preach. I haven't that many times, so I feel inexperienced, but it makes me feel desperate, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm like, God, I need something. I can't just come up here and talk for 30, 40 minutes, and, you know, these people, they need something from you, and I was praying. I didn't feel any clear direction. And one evening, I was reading the Bible to my girls. Started going through John and just take a chapter, mostly a chapter at a time. I was reading. They like stories. They love to hear stories. And the Bible's full of them. New Testament's full of stories. And I was reading this story, how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And I started realizing there are lots of truths in this chapter for us today, for people, for God's people today. And so that's what I want to share with you, some of those things, and I trust that the Spirit of God will speak to whatever your need is, because I don't know. I don't know all of you that well. I don't know what your individual need is right now, but as I went through, studied this chapter, I realized how much we can learn from this story. So let God speak to the need, whatever it may be. I think there's something in here for everyone, young or old, men and women, wherever you are in life. I'm going to go ahead and read most of this chapter, the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, in John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. I'm going to quit there. The rest of the chapter is mostly how the Sanhedrin came together, the council discussing what to do with this Jesus. I'd like to just pray before we continue on. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. Thank you for this story in the Word of God. And Lord, we believe that this was an actual happening that happened many years ago. And God, I thank you that we can read about it. Thank you for the power of God, that you are the resurrection and the life. And Lord, I thank you that we can learn from this chapter, from this story, things that pertain to our life here today, exactly where we are and where we live. Thank you that you are the same. You're our Father. You don't change. And Lord, we love you. And I pray that as we go through this chapter, you would open up to each heart that is here what you want them to hear, Lord. Speak to each need that is here. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know that I can't cover all the ground there is to cover here. But as we go through, just if God is speaking to you, listen to what he has to say for your specific need. But it's very clear in the first couple verses here, Jesus loved his family. In fact, when the sisters sent to him, they said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. He was close to Mary and Martha. Verse 4, I believe, is a key verse for this chapter, this story. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. How many times are we in the midst of something, in the middle of a tough situation? It's hard to realize it when you're in the middle. But there are situations that God allows for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. I think that should be our goal, our aim in life, whatever situations come, that the Son of God may be glorified. And you know, it's easy for us to read from the beginning all the way through to the end. Nice story, good ending. That's how it turned out. But you know, they lived it. They were right in the middle of it. Death came. They thought it was over. They thought he was 4 days late. And I think we have a hard time sometimes. We're in the middle of a tough situation in life. We think, God, where are you? You're late. You're not showing up. But God knows the end of this story as well as the beginning, as well as the middle. He's the beginning, the middle, the end. He knows it all. So don't lose heart. If you feel like you're in the middle of something, and it's tough, I know it was for them. It was not an easy thing to go through. But possibly, you're on the verge of a miracle, of something greater that God wants to do. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You can know whatever you're going through, Jesus loves you, your family, the people in your situation, whatever it is. You know, this is maybe a side note, but some reason it just hit me how it's written here. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, I remember there was a period in my life growing up, I didn't like it because I felt like I was just Andrew's brother. You know, I wasn't me. People would meet me, oh, yeah, you're Andrew's brother. And, hey, if you feel that way, if you're only so-and-so's brother, so-and-so's sister, Jesus still loves you. And I think I grew out of that eventually, but I remember thinking about it. Hey, he was older. He traveled a lot. Well, he got known far and wide. Maybe not far and wide, but more people knew him. And it was like, can't I just be me? But I just thought of that. Jesus loved all of them. If you have an identity issue, Jesus loves you. Verse 6, Jesus was not in a rush. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. That's hard for us to accept. If you are in Mary and Martha's shoes, you're in a tough situation, you have a sickness, a death, something terrible happening. Jesus waited 2 days. His timing is not necessarily what we think the timing should be as humans. We think he's late. We think he's not answering. He's not hearing. But it was because, I believe it's because he loved them. He wanted them to experience a greater miracle. And he waited 2 days. He didn't rush in. He waited. So in the midst of it, know that God loves you. It probably didn't feel like love to Martha and Mary. So where is he? Where is Jesus? You know, they did the right thing. Go back to verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They knew where the source was. They knew he was the healer. I don't know if they tried some of their own remedies. Maybe they had some concoctions to give Lazarus, try to get him better. But eventually they knew they had to send for Jesus. So I believe they had faith, and we do that. I believe if you haven't yet, sooner or later, you're going to come to a situation in life that feels impossible, and you know where to go. We know to cry out to God. He's the healer. He's the one that can come in and fix our situation, change it, make it better. But maybe his idea is to wait a few days, maybe a few years. And a greater miracle is about to happen if you can be faithful through it. So we know they did the right thing. They called for Jesus. And sometimes we do that, he still feels like he's 30 miles away. I know that. I've gone through times, it doesn't feel like God is really close. He feels far away. But you know what? Don't give up. Don't ever give up. You feel like you're in the middle of something. There's a greater depth to your faith that God wants you to experience, or a greater miracle. that you are about to experience in God's time. Jesus decides, well, I don't know that he decides, he was simply being obedient. Verse 7, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. I believe Jesus was simply doing what his Father wanted. We know that from John 8. I'm going to just read a few verses. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus was very much in tune with his Father, and he still is today. When you think that he's far away, when you think, why won't he come? Why won't he change his situation? I'm in the middle of it. You can know that he has everything under control. He knows what he's doing. It seems sometimes here Jesus was talking in these cryptic sayings or something to his disciples. Or else they were just slow in learning, thick-headed or something. But the disciples were immediately concerned. Wait a minute, we're going back to where they threatened to stone you. They're going to kill you if you go back there. But you know what? Jesus was getting his orders from the Father. And when he got those orders, he could resolutely go. He could do what he was told. He didn't have to worry. If they killed him, they killed him. He was being obedient to orders from heaven. The disciples, they're looking at these circumstances. Wait a minute, this is dangerous. Don't go back here. But Jesus answered, "Are not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." I think it was just saying, you know, he has got direction from the Father. He knows what he's supposed to do. Don't worry about stumbling. Walk in that light. He said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep." And I don't know. I don't know why Jesus talked like that sometimes to his disciples. Maybe he's trying to teach him something. But they're okay, great. He's just sleeping. We'll go wake him and it'll all be, you know, all be fine. Finally, it's just like, you don't get it. Come on. He said plainly, Lazarus is dead. You know what the next verse says? And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Jesus was glad that he waited. He was glad that he was not there. Now that would be hard to accept if Mary and Martha found out. They called for him. He waits 2 days, then he says he's glad he didn't come. But you know why? To the intent ye may believe. There may be something that's hard for you to see, that Jesus is glad, that he's waiting. He's given you a couple days. He's given you a couple years. Time doesn't matter. But he's waiting to the intent that you may believe. Something greater, something deeper. Jesus knew what he was getting into. And Thomas, not sure why he said this, said, let's go. We're going to all get killed with him. I don't know if he was just a fatalistic view or if he was actually saying resolutely he was being a disciple. If Jesus is gone, doesn't matter if we all die, let's go with him. I guess they presumed he goes back where they're threatening to stone him. It's going to happen. But you know, you'll always have those people. Always be a Thomas. And come on, let's just go die with him. I don't know for sure what his thought was, but don't worry about the Thomas. If the Lord is our light and salvation, who do we need to fear? And Mary and Martha, they had to suffer. They went through suffering. And you know what? The lesson that they learned affected others. The disciples learned it, and we'll see later on, even the people around them. So it may be that you're going through something very difficult. God wants to teach you a lesson. Maybe he wants to teach your family, those around you. It's usually something bigger than just you, than just one person, than just me. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. We think he's 4 days late, but Jesus was just on time. You can be sure that he will be just on time. And I don't know if he specifically waited 4 days. I read somewhere that in this time, the belief may have been that the soul could return to the body up to 3 days after death, come back to the grave. I don't know if they believed that or they thought that. But either way, 4 days in the grave, there was no doubt he was dead. Verse 19 and 20, some of these we see. I think humanity, death is something that's hard for us to deal with. But, you know, we want to do what we can. And so friends and relatives, I believe, they came trying to comfort Martha and Mary. They were there in the house, and I believe that still happens today. We try to do what we can. They were there. I guess Martha heard Jesus was coming. She went out. She met him. And isn't this the typical response that we have many times? She said, "Lord, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died." She had faith. She knew it. She knew she had seen, I believe she had seen some of these miracles, heard of these miracles. Jesus could heal. He could heal the sick. But Jesus wanted to take her faith to another level, deeper. And she said, "Lord, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died." They knew that. You know, we have faith. I believe that. Sometimes we need our faith deepened, our faith strengthened. And it can be very difficult what we have to go through for that to happen. But she said, "But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." I don't know if she had possibly a little inkling that maybe Jesus could raise him from the dead. I don't know, because it doesn't sound like the verse Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." And she's thinking the resurrection. "Oh, I know. I believe that. He'll rise again." Jesus said something very profound. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He's still the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the source of life. He is the resurrection. You know, possibly, I don't know what Martha's, maybe she had a small seed of faith there. Maybe he could do something great. Maybe you feel that way. "Lord, it looks hopeless. He's dead. He's been dead 4 days. You're too late. If he would have just come in time, you could have healed it and made us a happy family again." You know, maybe she hadn't given up hope completely. Maybe she had a little bit of faith. Maybe you do. Deep down, there's a little bit of faith. Maybe God can do something great. Some kind of miracle to change this situation that I'm in. You can know your complete confidence and trust and faith can be in Jesus Christ. In God as your Father. They will do what is right. I like what Martha said. "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." She did believe. But you know, I don't think she was quite ready for what was going to happen. This miracle that was going to happen. Maybe Jesus wants to do something beyond what you can even imagine, what you can even think, what you can even dream of. Believe in him. So Martha goes back. Obviously Jesus had called for Mary as well. It seems that Jesus wanted to meet them away from the crowd maybe, or away from their house. And she jumps up to go to meet him. All the people followed out. So you have a crowd here, I think, gathering at the grave. But look at the response of Mary. It's identical to her sister's. "Lord, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died." That so many times is our response as human beings. What we think, "Lord, if you would have just been here, you could have prevented this. We know that you're the healer. You could have prevented this." But Jesus wanted to do something greater and something deeper. The next few verses, I think, can be a great comfort to any of us going through a dark period, a time of grief. Jesus felt their grief. He saw them wailing, weeping, Jews with her, all of them. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And I don't think he was weeping for Lazarus as they were. He knew the end of the story. He knew what was coming. But I just believe that he wept with those who wept, with those who were weeping. And I believe that he still understands our grief. I find it hard to relate sometimes to deep grief, the loss of a loved one in a family. What do you say? What do you do? But Jesus, he knows exactly what you're going through. And I really like how it just brings out he was God in a human body. I believe he wept with them. He was troubled. He was groaned. I don't know if he was troubled with just death and the fall of humanity and how death has just come upon all of us, but he asked, "Where is he?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, that's the shortest verse in the Bible, but so profound. Jesus wept. And I think anyone that is going through deep trials or deep grief, Jesus can comfort you. He can be there in the midst of your sorrow. He was right here with them. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." They could tell he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loved them. And it was evident by the tears that he shed for their grief. And even some of these Jews, look at their response. Typical, the human response. Couldn't this man, he opened the eyes of the blind. You know, we saw him doing these miracles. Surely he could have prevented this. He could have prevented it. But something greater was just about to happen. Jesus comes up to this cave with a big stone. That's what I envision anyway. It had to be big enough to cover the hole. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." I don't think he would have had to do that. If he could raise the dead, he didn't have to have a human being to pull the stone away. He could have made him come right out through there. But I think sometimes this is something that we can learn. Sometimes Jesus has something for us to do. Take away the stone. Martha, very practical. "Lord, it stinks. He's been dead 4 days. What do you mean, take away the stone?" Have you ever been in a situation? It stinks. If you open that can of worms, that's what we call it. Don't go in there, it's going to stink. Maybe, just maybe, God wants you to roll back the stone. We think it's going to stink, Lord. This situation is, it's just, there's no way out. I'm stuck. I just want to cover it up with a big stone, and we're not going there. We're not going in there. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Is there a stone that you need to push away? Let the power of God come right into the grave. We're afraid, maybe it's relationships just aren't working out. Lord, we dig that up, it's going to stink. But you know what? Look what Jesus said unto her. "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Believe in him. And I thought of this. I want to read a verse. Matthew 13:58. It's hard to actually comprehend this verse. When Jesus was back in Nazareth, his hometown, you know what the Bible says? "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Our unbelief can hinder this power of God. I think that can still happen today. And this is what Jesus was telling Martha. If you would believe, you can see this power of God. And the proof of her belief, the proof of them believing him, they rolled the stone away. Are you willing to believe in Jesus and say, "Yes, I think it's going to stink, but what you say, I will do. We'll roll the stone away and let you in to this cave. And you can see the glory of God. I don't think if they would have rolled the stone away, I don't think Jesus would have raised Lazarus from the dead. That was their part to play, to show their belief. Yes, I don't see how this is going to work. I think you're going to make a mess of this situation. Yes, Lord, we'll roll the stone away. And that's what they did. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. And he began to pray. Actually, I don't think he began to pray. I think he just began to talk out loud. I think he was talking with his Father, communicating with his Father. He was doing exactly what the Father wanted. But it was for the benefit of those around him. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I think he did hear him. He must have been talking to him. He just verbalized this. And I knew that thou hearest me always. There was no doubt. There was a connection between Jesus and his Father. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. This was very specific. I wonder if maybe he hadn't used the name, there would have been a lot of dead people rising up. Jesus' words are powerful. He said it very specifically, Lazarus, come forth. I don't know. Maybe they would have had lots of the dead rising. But Jesus has the power to raise the dead right there. And he still has the power to do something our human minds can't even wrap around. I mean, raising the dead, death is so final. It's completely gone. There's no hope. I mean, even very, very sick people, do you give up? You just stop. There is breath. There's life. There's hope. But death, it's all over. And then give it 4 days just for good measure. It's too late. But it is not too late for Jesus. It's not too difficult for him. And exactly what he said happened. He that was dead came forth, bound up, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus, just very matter of fact, loose him, let him go. I mean, he's raised somebody from the dead. Loose him and let him go. Someday, you might think you're in a situation that's hopeless, but may God, someday may you hear that word, hear your name, come out. I'm doing a great miracle here. It's your turn to see the glory of God, to have your faith strengthened and deepened. You know, I think there's probably a whole list of things we find ourselves in. Sickness, terminal illness, cancer, a loved one died, a child rebellious, walking away from God, a relationship that's broken, depression, you're falsely accused for something. Those are difficult, painful situations that we face because we live, as human beings, we live in a fallen world. And I believe you will face that. You're a Christian, it's not going to erase all the pain. That's not going to happen. That's not what Jesus promised. I do believe if you live long enough, you will probably face something like this. But my encouragement is, think of this. In our time, our framework, we think, God, if you would have only come, you could have prevented this. But there are times when Jesus says, I'm glad that I did not come in and just make it easy and make everything all right when you wanted. This is something for the glory of God, something greater about to happen, a miracle that you have never seen before that's going to blow your theology maybe or your ideas of what I can do just completely away. He's saying, trust in me. You believe. If God's asking you to take away a stone, whatever that is, pull away the stone. Let the power of God come in and do a radical transformation. Bring life from death. You know, bring the dead back to life. And it was to the intent that God would be glorified, the Son of God would be glorified, and their faith would be strengthened. Can you imagine what happened to Mary and Martha? Their faith. Here is their brother, dead 4 days. There's no hope anymore. that he was just sick or in a coma. Dead 4 days, buried, the stone is over the grave. And Jesus comes, when they think he was late, turns the whole thing around for the glory of God. And I like verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. It may be that God is going to use your situation, the difficult things that you went through, whatever it was, all of a sudden it turns around. It's for the glory of God. And many people, that the bystanders are affected. They believe in him. Not all of them. I believe you'll always have those. They run off, find the Pharisees, tell them what Jesus is doing, trying to stir up trouble. You'll have those. But you know what? What I wanted to focus on is the power of God. When he came in his time, not in the human time frame, what they thought should have happened, Jesus came in to do something much deeper and much greater. And that is my prayer for you, whether you're married or single or old or young, whatever it is. You might have to wait more than 4 days. Don't worry. God's not in a hurry. He's just on time. If you think he's late, you think, Lord, why didn't you show up? Why didn't you show up here? Why didn't you show up there? You know, even in my short life, I can look back. I can see dark times. I prayed. I did the right thing. We're taught that. We go to God. That's when we have a need. We need to go to God. And it seems like he doesn't answer. Seems like he was far away. Why did you let me go through there? If you would have just come here, you could have prevented it. It wouldn't have happened. But I look back. When it's in the past, we see, okay, we see a little more of the big picture. I don't think we see clearly yet. We're still looking through a glass darkly. But we see there's times Jesus will allow that so that a greater miracle can take place. And that's my prayer for you. Let's all rise. We'll have a closing prayer.